And from the Gospel of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God's word is life. Thanks be to God.
No sooner have we visited the baby in the manger when suddenly in Luke's gospel we meet Jesus, a grown man. Which is how it is in each of the canonical Gospels. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, there are just a couple of very fleeting glimpses of Jesus' early life. Not at all in the Gospels of Mark and John. But they all, each of them, very soon into their testimony, take us to this scene at the Jordan River where Jesus is baptized by John. In the Gospels that make no mention whatsoever of his birth, this is the starting point. And even in those that do, it is from this experience of his baptism that the whole rest of the story unfolds. Either way, it seems something came together here at the river, which set in motion everything that Jesus goes on to be about. Something life-shaping happened at his baptism. Well, often we preachers, we take hold of this story right from the get-go, looking for what it might mean for us. And so we're quick to make the connection, to affirm that those words that Jesus heard, "You are my beloved, in you I delight," that these are God's words for us too. We take the story of Jesus' baptism into the story of our own so that we might remember again, or if we never really got it the first time, that we could know that we too are God's beloved, God's joy. Which is all well and good and true, and God knows we need reminding. But what if there's something else? Something more that may come to light if we pause to contemplate Jesus' baptism alone, before taking hold of it for ourselves, before inserting ourselves. That's the tip-off that I received from Mary Ludi last week, to remember that we are in the season of Epiphany when this story is given to us to reflect on. We're in this season of revelation when, as she suggests, it is as though the Spirit lights a lamp through these stories and leads us, bidding us to draw near, to look closely, to see what is being unveiled right there. So what is it that awaits our discovery? What are we being given to see about the nature of God being revealed in Jesus? As we turn our attention toward the scene at the river, allowing our gaze to stay focused on Jesus, before we wonder about what it could possibly mean for us. First, we're given to see a great crowd of people, all these people from every walk of life, drawn out into the wilderness by John's compelling call. Something rings deeply true in his message that they wonder, maybe this is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. And then we hear John himself clarifying for them, no, there is one who is coming who is mightier than I. And then we could almost miss it. The description is so concise. We read, during a general baptism of the people, when Jesus too had been baptized and was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and there came a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. In you is my delight." Well, sitting with those words, imagining this scene, here's what I caught after a while as I drew near, looking and listening. I heard the word, you. You. Jesus, hearing that spoken to himself, you are my beloved. In you I delight. The particularity of that address. It's the way the scene moves from the general to the particular. During a general baptism of the people, we read, when Jesus too had been baptized. You see, we're first given to see the whole scene, noticing Jesus in the crowd, and then it zeroes in on him. Heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and there came a voice from heaven, you, you. Whatever that was for all the others, who knows? Now the focus is Jesus. It's what's happening with Jesus that fills the canvas. There's this move from the general to the particular, from the wide open heavens above to Jesus, his very being touched, addressed. What is being revealed, unveiled about the nature of God? What I'm glimpsing here is how it is God's way to see, to notice, to connect with Jesus, with him specifically in particular. How it is God's desire to communicate with him. I see you. I know you. I'm telling you, you are mine, my beloved, my joy. Yes, you. Not only are there words spoken to him, but there is this presence that descends upon him, descends into him. Perhaps opening a way for those words that are more than words to become part of him, to reside in him. From here, we see Jesus turning often to God, assuming that intimacy, drawing on that intimacy, relying on that connection. It is this that enabled him to live with such freedom, such wisdom, such compassion and courage and humility. These words, that connection, this claiming, you are mine, my love, my joy. He went on to live from this energy, this presence, this connection, and to reflect it and to share it. It's the bright beauty that burned in him all the way. So powerful, the love. So enduring, so enlarging. From the general to the particular. It is God's way to see, to notice, to connect, to claim, to love the whole world, yes. And the particular, yes. And the particular isn't exclusive to Jesus. This love so vast doesn't draw those lines. And so what if those words are indeed God's words to us? What if it is God's way, God's desire to connect with you, to claim you in your particularity, me in mine? What if that same intimacy is given to you, is yours to draw on, given to me, mine to draw on? Talking with Johann a week ago, he told me that by chance, I think were his words, he was reading the Bible. And he came across this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, what cannot be seen is eternal. Reading that, he felt it. These weren't just words on a page. It wasn't just a case of, oh, I can identify with that. This was him being personally met, feeling personally addressed, noticed, known, deeply understood, accompanied, not alone. As I hear it, this is Johann experiencing something of God's way of connecting with in his particularity. In Johann's words, it was miraculous. It was powerful, an incredible blessing. So I wonder how it may have happened for you along the way. Were you experienced this touch, this being seen, being known, noticed? Where you experience this personal connection. Not the sense of being loved in general, but being valued, remembered, attended to, cared for you in particular. You. For Jesus, this experience was a formative event in his life. But it wasn't just a one-shot deal. It was an epiphany for him. It was an event that alerted him to what was real, to the presence of God in his life. This loving, delighting, I am with you, you are mine, companionship. It was an event that oriented him for the rest of his life, that had him turning and returning to the one he called Abba, Daddy, which says everything about the quality, the intimacy of that relationship. It is that same quality, that same intimacy that can be ours, that so God so desires with us, with you, with me. What more might be in store for us as we turn and return to the one who loves us, loves you, with such particularity? Well, let's just marinate in that before we sing.